Hail and well met, fellow adventure nerds. We hope you're all enjoying the summer while it lasts. We just wanted to take a quick sec to tell you guys about our Patreon. We have multiple tiers available with all different levels of content. We have city and battle maps and all sorts of art and original music coming soon, not to mention the early release access episodes, a Patreon shout-out, and even a customizable Patreon shout-out. So you guys can go check that out at www.patreon.com/moduscritica or visit our website at moduscritica.com. If you haven't already, head over to our Facebook page and give us a like. Thanks so much for your continued support. Anyway, enjoy episode 5 of Modus Critica. Modus Critica is intended for mature audiences only. Listener discretion is advised. Last time on Modus Critica. Our unlikely heroes left Barnabas Mansion and set a course for Senelise. En route, they stumbled across a strange mushroom-like creature bound and thankfully not gagged. Thwarting the efforts of the Shadar Kai, the captors became the captive, and the mushroom-like boy named Spud became a free man. After the party obtained a world map, they used less than conventional interrogation tactics to secure any information they could. With the captive in line, over the shoulder, and severely wounded, the party set off for the Silver Grove and Senelise. In the forest, the party was met with the Queen's Guard, and they rode a large lift into the trees and into the city proper. Escorted by the guard, the party was led to the Court of Stars, where for the first time, they stood before Lady Tiandra, first and only of her name, upholder of the peace, the Queen of Summer. Welcome to Modus Critica. This is episode 5 of the campaign. We are going with episodes. We're sticking with episodes. We are 6 nerdy folk. Sitting around the virtual table, we are here to role play, roll heads, and roll dice. Those 6 people are...
Kyle, Darius Adolfo, the cleric.
Sorry, can you say your own name in Darius' voice?
Kyle, please? Darius Adolfo.
So wait, has Kyle been Darius' first name this entire time?
So sorry. I didn't introduce myself sooner.
Hey everyone, Sid here, and I am playing Gord Godhand. Interesting thing about Gord, his favorite vegetable is a gourd.
Stop!
No way.
Hi, my name's Cornelius. I am a Herengon druid from the Feywild, and tonight I'll be played by Eric.
You guys are really funny today.
Hey, I'm Zach. I play Neblin Thrice Great, Delusional Gnome Illusionist.
Yes. Hey there. My name's Caitlin, and tonight I'll be playing Torque Tortellini in this episode and every other episode.
And my name is Tyrone. I will be your dirty dungeon master
for the evening. That makes me think of, like, leather and collars.
Okay, you know what? Don't kink shame.
Way I can play in this state of arousal.
I'm way past that, buddy.
Okay, so you guys stand before Sir Randrick Vestibule, Queen Tiandra, and Spud is there with you, as well as your captive from the forest, and Vestibule looks at all of you.
I say, holy shit, my lady, and I kneel.
Gord as well kneels and takes the captor with him as he goes down.
Okay.
I will put my hand to my chest and just, like, nod.
I ain't doing nothing that mushroom's doing, I'm standing.
That's a queen.
Neblin takes off his hat.
Nice. Okay, well, Vestibule looks at you, Torque, and kind of gives you a bit of a scowl. The queen snickers, and she looks at all of you, and she says,
Please rise.
And then she looks past the captor and she looks back at you all and she's kind of scanning and she's like,
am I to assume that this man is your captive?
Yes, we found this man in the woods with Spud tied up, and we decided to intervene on your behalf so that we could bring him forward to you and maybe ask some more questions about their business here. Apparently, he was looking for information on the creatures in the woods.
I recognize this garb as maybe the Shadow Kai?
That would be correct.
And she kind of like cocks her head to the side, and as she's looking at the Shadar Kai fighter, her gaze crosses to you, Cornelius, and she gasps.
Jesus, my little Erangon friend, you look as though you're very ill.
Yeah, I,
what curse has been bestowed upon you?
I think dried out scrotum.
Oh, we must put you back to the way that you were.
Please do, this is, people have just been looking at me in not a pleasant way.
You don't look healthy.
After we've spoken, I shall deal with it myself.
Thank you, my lady.
I suppose now we know who this cloaked figure is. What can you tell me about what has happened with the city?
So this is where it starts to get complicated. Seraphim the Black, she is the new Queen of Shadows.
The Queen of Shadows?
Yes.
Is not the Raven Queen responsible?
The Raven Queen has been supplanted by this Seraphim the Black.
She's dead.
I don't know that for sure. Her essence has been taken. She is no longer the Queen of Shadows.
This is very curious.
Mm-hmm. It is to us as well. But in either case, being a new goddess of the Shadows, I believe she wanted to travel back to the material plane. And so she took some help from Aurora, along with her new powers and maybe other compatriots, and
Who is Aurora?
Aurora is a vampire currently in Evernight.
Was this the owner of the manor?
Yes, the same.
Okay, continue.
So what she informed us is that she worked with Seraphim the Black to create this ritual, with the understanding that she would also get to go back to the material plane as well. But Seraphim has... she botched the ritual somehow, and we have jumped further beyond the material plane to here, to your lovely kingdom.
So are you saying that my niece may still be alive? Astrosalion may still be intact?
Quite possibly, and not only that, but the city and her transported to the Shadowfell. They switch spots.
Well, isn't that something?
Yes, not to mention, involved in this spell were these stones of power.
The stones that shot forth from the...
Yes, the very same.
Interesting.
Yeah. Aquaradium, they called them.
I do wonder if this stone, Aquaradium, is the same stones created by the ancient elves. I shall have my finest mages looking into these stones.
Yeah, we don't know.
Do you know where they are?
I'm not a stoner, so...
I've scouts all over the Fae. I could have word out immediately.
Yeah, I think these stones gotta be the key to reversing whatever happened here. I think we might wanna, you know, look in that direction a little.
Then our top priority must be to recover these Aquaradium stones. They seem like they must hold great power.
My lady, I must add, the darkness is spreading, the shadow is spreading.
Yes, this black corruption seems to be upsetting the balance of the Fae. The Mother has been weakened already by its power.
This is no good.
Well, with all of this new information...
Aurora was mentioning some form of counter-ritual that we may be able to perform upon gathering these stones. Perhaps your mages could look into it. I could help myself, but I have a feeling that my path's gonna pull me along with these chuckle fucks over here.
Chuckle what?
you know, frankly, I wouldn't trust whatever she said, but anything to get us back, I'd be willing to take a risk on.
Yes, well, I suppose we haven't got much of a choice in this matter at the moment, but it does seem that recovering the stones should be priority number one. A Court of Stars summon will be inevitable, but we must be careful who we trust in this matter. there are those of the court who may use these stones for less than good and may not be trustworthy of retrieving them.
Who would that be?
Maybe it's you. What if you're telling us that somebody else isn't trustworthy, but we don't really know you, lady? Maybe you're not the trustworthy one.
It's the queen.
You feel a chill down your spine, Kirk, as she kind of glares at you.
Oh, no.
And the chill is replaced with a warmth. Aww. And can you roll me a constitution saving throw, please?
Well, now I feel bad.
Well, that's no way to talk to the queen.
That's a 9.
A 9? You feel the most pleasant that you've felt almost in your entire 9 years in the multiverse. You just feel, like, elated. You feel warm, and you feel a direct telekinetic link with Queen Tiandra, and she speaks in your mind.
Calm yourself, Tortle. You shall know to trust me. You shall learn to trust me.
And the voice fades away, but you remain feeling, like, extremely warm.
Lady, how'd you do that?
She smiles at you, and at that, she looks at Spud, and she's like,
were you off gallivanting again?
And Spud looks at her, and he's like, I was just trying to help out, you know? I know I'm too young to go out with the scouts, but, you know, I was just trying to go out there and, you know, bring some of these bad boys down. And she chuckles at Spud, and Tiandra says,
you best be a little more careful, please.
And Vestibule is just, like, glaring at Spud. Clearly, Spud is a nuisance around these parts. She looks at all of you again, and she says,
this is a lot of information to take in. We will take this captive and interrogate him as we see fit. We shall try not to use any violent means, but we would like to get as much information of this man as we can. I shall spend the night in consultation with my advisors and come to a decision sometime tomorrow. For now, you may rest in the guest house and return next sundown for further discussion on the matter, if you please.
And she nods to all of you, and she grabs Spud's hand, and they slowly start walking away up to the northern hallway of the chamber.
Hey, Spud, if you want to hang out later, just let me know. You're a pretty fun guy.
Yeah, bud. You got my digits.
So Tiandra and Spud walk through the double doors and close them behind them. And before you just stands Vestibule now. And Vestibule, smiling at all of you, says,
we appreciate your cooperation on this matter. Further attendance is muchly appreciated. As you can see, it's a very delicate situation. But enough with the pleasantries. The guest house is directly attached to the proscenium out front. You may rest there until next sundown. In the day, you may find the Bloated Ox Tavern to the west, Naisha's Blades to the east, and Aldous the Magnificent's Magical Emporium and other fine trinkets to the north. Please, enjoy your stay in Senelis.
They have an Aldous here.
Does the guest house have a pool?
No, it doesn't have a pool. So please enjoy your stay in Senelis, my dear fiends. If you need anything, please don't hesitate to let me know. Yeah, you can find my home just south of here. And Tortle, was it?
Yeah?
You practice the way of the shadow, yes?
Yeah, I do. What's it to ya?
There's an old woman here that I think you may like to speak to. She can be found just further west of the Bloated Ox.
Oh, what's the lady's name?
Her name is Genji. Genji Rottletocket.
Genji Rottletocket. That's a great name.
Genji? I can't even fucking say it.
Rottletocket. Rottletocket. Just Rottletocket.
Genji Rottletocket.
Rottletocket.
Mrs. Rottletocket?
Rattletocket?
Yes.
Oh, well, okay. I guess I could go give her a little bit of a visit. Thank you?
Yeah, you're welcome. Godhand, I've no news of your family reporting
you
to Senelis. No news.
No.
But with these recent developments, I will be sure to pass that information along to the Queen to make sure that your family's interests hold a place in her heart. She will look into finding Astrazalian If it is in the Shadowfell, we will let you know.
Please do.
And Cornelius.
Yes.
No word of your goats. We did look. We've seen no goats. No chicken either.
Oh, I was just going to ask about the chicken.
Okay.
There also is a stable close by. I notice you've got your two mules here on the lift. They'll have to come off there. There's a small stable just to the southeast of here.
Wow. A stable in the trees.
It's very, very impressive, I must say.
Alrighty.
Oran's might, he did build us a beautiful city.
I heard the lady mention some word of this man named Jesus. Where is he?
Jesus Christ.
yeah, that's the one.
He lives in a hut near Fothigan Maze.
He must be a very special character.
Maybe she's on the way to Gansey Rattle Pocket. We could stop in, Dario.
He lives close to the maze, so he's not. He's near the maze. You'll need a guide if you'd like to go see Jesus. I mean, I believe it's actually Jesus, but I don't rightly know.
Well, she seemed to use his name in consternation, so maybe he's not such a pleasant person to be around.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I haven't really met the guy.
So how late is it?
It's getting up there. You guys got here by sundown, so it's just vestibule will look at you guys and give you the nod and start to walk out down the proscenium and kind of around the side of it. He brings you guys to this beautiful sort of like a cabin, like a wooden cabin that's got separate rooms and a beautiful little common area. There's a little fire pit and there's a fire going for you guys already in there with a couple cooking pots and stuff nearby. And he says,
"Say, this is the guest house. Please enjoy your night stress-free and we will see you tomorrow, sundown."
Okie dokie.
So, have a good night there, vestibule.
All right. So as you guys sit around to...
I think as we're all sort of taking our seats, Nevlin lights up his pipe and he pulls out a sack with quite a bit of weight to it. And he kind of bounces it in his hand and he looks around at everybody sitting around the fire. And he slowly starts counting out 5 piles of 40 gold each. And he slides it over to each one of you individually in turn. And he's going to say, I nicked this back at the manor. I was going to keep it for myself, but I figure we're kind of partners now. And I thought you should have your cut.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, gee. Thanks, Neville. That's pretty nice of you.
Neville.
Yeah.
You're duplicitous enough to hide the goods from us. It's nice that you're mentioning it now, but that's also an admission of sorts. I'm not sure if I like this.
Let's just keep on the positive side there, Dario.
Well, in the case of being positive, then, I have also done something that was...
that was easy.
That was a conscience.
So, sorry, I got a little righteous there for a moment, but quite honestly, I did the same. I don't know you guys very well, and so I kept something to myself. But it's not something that is easily split in twain, as it were. I have this potion here. It says a climbing potion on the side.
Well, we can all have one little sip. Maybe before we go to bed?
No. I think this is a single serve. I can climb easily. It is something that was in my training in the military. For maybe someone such as... Well, such as you, Nevlin. You look kind of weak and spindly. Maybe you can. You probably need this at some point.
I'll have you know.
Oh,
that I am all powerful.
You're right.
Yeah. I'll take the potion, though. Thank you.
He's only disillusioned. He's not weak.
That was probably a little backhanded. Sorry. Also, from my military service, you would just say things as you mean them.
As you mean them, eh? Yeah.
It sounds worse now, doesn't it?
You should just shut up.
You are weak. Like, look at you. you are all powerful in your understanding and intelligence at the expense of your body, which is spindly.
All right.
Hashtag Dario Sidolfo, hashtag no filter.
Sorry. Lead with your strength. But all right, here, you guys, here's something to help you.
Look, I really appreciate like your admissions and your honesty or whatever, but I just want to let you know so you don't like maybe worry about me or nothing. I'm just gonna go and meditate because my master, Jakku, you know, the guy who died at the very beginning, in my arms, and his guts were everywhere. And it was...
I don't think he's your master anymore.
Well, I mean, the monks, we kind of believe that maybe this physical form isn't, like, the very end of life. So he might just look a little bit different now. So he's my master for all intents and purposes, and he would probably be really happy if I were just to, like, go and meditate and think about the, you know, shadowy things and how I can be a little bit better of a monk. So I'm just gonna go do that. So I'll just be over there. So don't worry.
Good for you. Tork, in the scriptures of Mercule, his soul will be taken into the embrace of Mercule. His soul crushed down into only the smallest of portions to be remade into other beings later on. This is a fine thing. Do not worry about him.
You know what, Dario?
That's fucking morbid, Dario.
Well, Dario, you know, you have your beliefs and I have mine, and I don't want to say that either of us is right or wrong, because there's really no such thing as that. But if there were, I'd be right. Have a good night, everybody. And he just walks away.
And that's where we end the evening.
Yeah.
Well, Gord sits in the corner and he kind of watches all of this go down and takes point at what Nevelyn did, takes point at how he feels with Dario. And while he's paying attention, he's more concentrating on his inner thoughts.
Okay. Well, does everyone kind of hit the hay sort of thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll be the last to go to bed.
Tork adorably crawls into his little shell, and he just catches some Z's.
All right.
I'm going to slowly roll Tork to a new location so that when Tork wakes up, it's like around the bend.
Roll me a strength check, a stealth check, and a sleight of hand check, please.
You better use physics for this move, because he's a big little boy.
I rolled a fucking 2.
Yes!
So my strength is 3.
Yeah, you can't move him at all. You go to start, like, very softly moving Tork, and Tork weighs 450 pounds, so you have a very hard time. What, you give up on the stealthiness of it, and you really put your back into it, and your fucking paws are just scratching along the floor trying to move him. Okay, and with that, you're like,
I chuckle to
Cornelius myself. As Cornelius is struggling to move this shell, Cornelius, you see the edge of my staff come in underneath the turtle shell, and Nevelyn is reefing up on it, using his staff as a
okay,
fulcrum.
So roll that then. If you're going to help, roll that at advantage.
I'm only trying to move you like 30 feet away and facing a different direction.
Because you're...
Nat 20.
Okay, so I rolled a 2, but I also rolled a 20.
Okay, so you got a nat 20. Okay, so yeah, you managed to, with Nevelyn there prying it up with his staff, you guys managed to slowly move him. Tork, roll me a perception check.
Oh my god.
At disadvantage, because you're sleeping.
True, okay. So that's a really heavy 11.
11? Okay, so you don't seem to stir. You don't notice that your shell's being moved across the floor.
Am I shell-shocked?
No. Cornelius, you managed to push the shell across the room, and or where are you putting it?
Just to outside of the door.
Like, outside in the city?
Yeah.
Okay.
Isn't your character good?
Yeah, but I'm playing a harmless prank. Nobody's gonna hurt you here. Nobody's gonna do anything.
You're bullying a child.
So you pushed the shell with Nevelyn's help. It is a struggle, but you managed to beef it up and push it hard, and you move it, like, you know, 20 feet from Tork's room to the outside of the front door there, and just leave the shell as you walk back in. And
I put a blanket over.
Okay. Yeah,
Gord sees all of this, because he's been sleeping in the chair in the main room with
Sid
his feet
did
up.
Air
you see
quotes
a small...
for all you listeners, just so you know.
Yeah. Yeah. He does a small smirk as he sees them pushing the shell.
I dust my hands off and walk away all smug and proud.
Yeah.
Give
Once
me
they
a
walk
fuck
away,
big enough, I'll move the world.
Yeah. Once they move away, Gord will take his chair and set it outside next to Torque, and he'll sleep outside with him, just sitting there. Almost like a sentinel.
All right.
Aww.
So everybody goes to their respective beds.
You fall into a deep slumber as the satyr's lute slowly fades into the night and transitions into the soft melodies of the early morning songbirds. As you open your eyes to a clear, bright day, the sun shines through the windows of the guest house and delicately touches your skin, warming your body. As you rise from your slumber, you can smell the delicious breakfast foods prepared around the city. The striking aromas linger in the air as the cheerful bustle of the city slowly returns and the soft-spoken words can be heard as clearly as if the city were over a calm water. It is at this time that you all take notice of the turtle out front the guest house.
Torque, you wake up. And you pop your head out of your turtle shell and you realize that you're outside. And you look over and you see a gourd knotted off sitting in a chair beside you.
And I'm standing out there waiting for this moment. And I go, ha ha ha! Good morning!
Good morning! Oh boy, I guess I did it again. Uh-oh.
Did what?
Oh, well, you know, I just, when I was young, you know, back in the old days, I just used to sleepwalk a little bit, and sometimes, oh boy, I got me into a little bit of trouble, and I would, you know, go off and break into people's houses, and sometimes I would just kind of take things that weren't mine, and then I would wake back up in a place where I don't remember falling asleep. So I guess maybe I might have done that last night, and I just don't remember. Uh-oh, I hope it didn't cause any trouble.
If it makes you feel better, Torque, under my watch, you won't be breaking into too many things.
Oh.
I quickly walk away to Nevlin and say, we gotta do that more often, dude. That's fucking great.
Oh, okay, Gord. I mean, you don't, just so you know, you don't always have to keep watch on me, okay? Like, sometimes it's okay to just maybe look away for a little bit.
Even with my eyes closed, I can see clear as day. Oh, and I stand up and walk in to the house.
That was a real dad thing to say. Okay.
So you guys have all slept, and you wake up feeling refreshed. There's laughter, jokes, Torque's crazy story about how he was essentially a modern-day thief.
Sleep stealing.
Narcoleptic.
Narcoleptic.
Sleep.
Yeah. A narcoleptic kleptomaniac.
Narcolepto.
Narcolepto.
And with that sleep, that long rest, you guys all gain a level. You are all now level 3.
Yeah. Awesome. Everybody loves a good sleep.
So after your guys' long rest and the shenanigans thereafter, you have all leveled up to level 3. And why don't we just take a minute and y'all can tell me what you got for level 3.
All right. Nevlin maxed out his HP roll, so he got 8 new hit points, bringing him up to a total, I do believe, of, that's like 23 or something along those lines. Which is quite nice, because I'm squishy. I also, all I got this level was a couple new spells. Mirror Image and Shadow Blade.
Beauty.
I thought you were going to say, all I got this level was this stupid t-shirt. But you didn't. Torque, he gained 7 hit points. And he also chose a monastic tradition. And his choice was the Way of the Shadow.
Nice.
Damn.
Even though he's a little bit scared of the dark.
Okay. And Gord?
Yeah, I'm going to roll a con save to see if Grumsh comes into my mind.
Go ahead.
That's a 7. So, yeah. He hears Grumsh.
Gord, I will not lose track of you again. You are in my sights, and I know you crave what you once held above all else. That power, second to none, can be yours again. If you only let yourself go, you will come to know me again. The only way to feel that power in your hands is through my guidance. Remember that feeling. Embrace it. Feed on it.
You're going to take a level of barbarian with that then.
I will take a level of barbarian. So now I am first level paladin, second level barbarian. With that, I got an extra 7 hit points plus my con, bringing me up to 33. I have Reckless Attack now and Danger Sense.
Nice. Dario?
I rolled for my hit points. I rolled the average, so 5 plus my con, which is 3, as 8, which brings me up to 24. So there seems to be something going on here. I'm actually almost just as squishy as Nevlin, so... And I chose some second level spells. I have Blindness, Deafness, and Spiritual Weapon.
Nice.
I also have domain spells. As a Cleric of the Grave, I have now domain spells of Gentle Repose. So if you die, I can keep your body fresh. And
to do what?
And, I don't know, to do whatever
bring
I
it,
want.
Bring it to somebody to actually cure them?
Yes, yes. You keep a body fresh so that you can bring them back from the dead with other lower level spells. It's not as expensive. You have to keep someone fresh to do that.
Oh.
And then Ray of Enfeeblement.
All right, Cornelius.
I rolled maximum hit points, and with my con, that made 11, putting me up to 27 hit points for a druid, which is pretty
Whoa.
Awesome.
Pretty
wild. And I'm finally at second level spells. And the new spells I got are a complete secret. But I'll give you a hint. Heat metal and hold person. But I'll tell you guys which spells they are later.
So you guys are all leveled up and ready to rock. The city of Senelis is at your disposal. Where would you guys like to go? What would you like to do?
Yeah, I think Torque wants to make his own way to see Ganji Rottle talk it. So he's going to head out and do that.
Okay.
I will choose Cornelius to walk around with. I mainly keep to myself. I'm quiet, and I'm sort of introspective as I sort of look around.
I choose to walk around with Gord.
You know what? Gord would probably look at Cornelius and be like, you've got an eye on Dario, right?
My one ear goes. And for those of you at home, I move my hand slightly up and down with a small wave or a nod, as it were.
Very
Maybe they're not at home. Maybe you're at work right now listening to your headphones and your boss doesn't know and you're my hero.
Very a la Bugs Bunny.
Yeah, if that's a yes, Nevlin, why don't we team together? I'd like to know a little bit more about you.
Yeah, all right, Gordo.
I've already learned about Cornelius's emphatic cheese. Dario's interesting and Dario's pretty innocent for the most part.
Okay, guys, I'm just gonna go do my own thing. I'm gonna go see that bottle rocket. Gimme. Oh, crap.
Rottle talk it, I believe.
Buttle talk it. gonna go see that person that the other guy told me to go see.
Well, if it's on the way to wherever Nevlin's going, we'll tag along with you. But if not, just get back here before we have to go talk to anybody.
Yeah, okay, I mean, I guess, yeah, we'll find out what direction that is when the Dungeon Master tells us.
So, Nevlin, you're not from the Shadowfell, you're not from the Feywild, you from the Material Plane?
Yeah, I'm from the Material Plane, spent a lot of time around there.
Conquered a couple of towns over there.
Torque, you take off down the giant tree path and make your way over to the western side of the city. And you pass by a pretty pumping tavern. This is the source of the satyr playing the lute.
Wait, when you say it's like pumping and he's playing a lute?
Oh, yeah.
Like, what kind of music is he playing to make it so pumping?
Well, it's like, you know, it's medieval music. There's a lute, there's a couple drums.
Well, like a little bit of trap or like...
Think of it more as like dirty dubstep meets like...
Yeah, I figured.
Classical contemporary.
Yeah, okay, that's exactly what I was imagining. Okay, sorry, go on.
Yeah, so you pass this bumpin' tavern and you walk down these stairs to a lower part of another large tree and you move yourself in and around the corner and you notice a homestead that's a little bit darker than the rest. And there's not much light here. An aura of shadow sports heavy intrigue.
I'm so intrigued.
Do you walk towards it?
Yeah.
So as you walk towards the house, on the far dark corner of the front porch, there is an old woman rocking back and forth in some sort of rocking chair. And she looks up at you and she goes,
Oh, hello there, Rottle Rocky. Are you Mrs. Ronald Tocket?
I may be Mrs. Ronald Tocket. Who's asking?
I'm so sorry, I just didn't think that you were going to sound like that.
What am I supposed to sound?
No, it just makes perfect sense that your voice would sound like that. My name is my name is Tork Tortellini, and...
What do you want, Tork Tortellini?
Well, Mr. Throttle Tocket, I am a very powerful monk who lives by the way of the shadow, and I thought that maybe you look like you might like a little bit of shadow yourself, and maybe we could just talk about it a little bit.
Where are you from, boy?
I am from Evernight. You know, the Tortellini family, we're a little bit famous, but not for really very good reasons. I'm here now, and I just...
I'm more interested in your mentor.
Oh, you mean Jakku? My master, who died earlier. He got split open, and, anyway, he's not around anymore. I'm so sorry to tell you.
Do you mean to tell me that Jakku is dead?
Oh, yeah, his intestines were just everywhere, and I tried to put him back together,
Enough, child.
Sorry.
Come inside.
Okay.
And so she invites you in, and she gets up off her rocking chair, and she brings you inside the house. The house is filled with ancient curiosities and an array of weird, priceless artifacts. Many skulls and bones, and it seems like straight out of the motherfucking Blair Witch or something, you know? And it's creepy, but you feel kind of at home here. It reminds you of the monastery. And Genji looks up at you, and she says,
"There was a time... when I, let's just say that me and Jakku had a bit of a history and a bit of a disagreement.
Oh.
Now, that said, I've got something that I think you should have. However, I've got to find it. Oh. I have no idea where it is.
Do you need me to help you look?
No. Piss off.
Okay.
And she starts rummaging through the back, banging shit around, and you hear some wooden buckets fall, and she comes out, and she's holding a quarterstaff, and it's wrapped. It's wrapped very, very ornately, almost.
Aww.
She looks up at you, and she says,
"Now, I would only impart this to you because... well, frankly, I don't want it anymore."
And she passes it to you, and she smiles. And as you take it in her hands, she looks at you and she's like,
"This was Jakku's."
It was Jakku's?
Yes.
Oh, well, I mean, that makes me like it quite a bit more, because, I mean, if I'm going to be perfectly honest with you, Mrs. Ronald Tocket, it looks a little bit boring. But if it was Jakku's stick, then, I mean, I'll take it.
She looks at you and she says,
"I just thought that you should maybe have this. I don't want it around. It reminds me of Jakku, and that just breaks my bloody heart. So you can take it and piss off with it."
Oh, well, I mean, sure, Mrs. Roll Talkit. I mean, if it belonged to my master Jakku, then I could never say no to having something that was special to him. But I mean, also, what's your policy on, like, re-gifting? Because my friend Gord really likes quarterstaffs, and maybe if I don't want it, I can give it to him. No, you know what? I'll just take it. I'll take it, and it'll be mine forever, and maybe I'll like using it one day.
It's the sentiment of it I thought would do you some good.
Yeah, it does make me feel kind of nice.
Now, that's it. You're practicing the way of the shadow. You please come back.
And any time?
I suppose,
like,
so.
I mean, like, if you need, like, an apprentice or something like that, I could just ditch the guys that I'm with, because they don't really mean a whole lot to me.
I may have something for you at a later date.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't really want to stay here anyway. It's not a big deal. Okay, well, I hope you have a good day or whatever. Piss off!
Piss off!
And with that, you walk back up the stairs towards the tavern. Then we will go over
The most charismatic turtle ever.
You
just incorporated
really that
as like an endearment.
No, he totally does.
Oh, God.
It's comedy gold.
Oh, this poor woman. woman. She wasn't very nice to me either, though, so...
No, she's just an old crotchety woman.
Yeah, she probably had a good little giggle.
Yeah. Then we'll go over to Nevlin and Gord.
I'm heading to Aldous's place.
Ooh, I can't wait.
As we're walking, I go, so you know, Nevlin, I once fought a wizard before.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, sneaky little fuckers. But I'll tell you what, their heads come off the same as any animal.
Yeah, suppose they do, Gord. Suppose they do.
Anyways, just some food for thought. You kind of remind me of him a little bit, but I don't think I'll have to do anything like that to you. You seem like a trustworthy guy.
Who was this wizard?
Oh, I didn't ask for a name. I just saw him, shot me with a couple of bolts, and I reacted.
Yeah, you're a tough guy there, Gord.
You too, Nevlin. Anyways, okay. Looks like we're here.
You guys walk around the Quarter Stars chamber around the front and over towards the east, and you make your way further north, and you see a shop that has a large sign that says Aldous the Magnificent's Magical Emporium and Other Fine Trinkets. It's very suave for what you can see. This particular structure looks more, for lack of a better term, magnificent than the rest of every structure, as beautiful as they all are to begin with. You guys walk in?
Yep.
Okay. You come into the door and you see a mage, pretty tall, slender, blonde hair. He's wearing very fine robes, and he looks up and he says,
Yes, Ed. Welcome to Aldous's Magical Emporium and Other Fine Trinkets. How may I help you today?
You're Aldous, I presume?
Yes. I am Aldous the Magnificent.
Aldous the Magnificent. Aldous the Magnificent. They call me Nevlin the Thrice Great.
And Nevlin sort of flourishes his robe in an exquisite bow, and he casts Minor Illusion to sort of make these sparkling stars kind of trail off of his robe.
Yes, I am Aldous the Magnificent.
And he also casts Minor Illusion, and a bunch of like small fireworks light off behind him as he flourishes his robes and does a twirl around, and then kind of stomps his feet at the end and snaps his fingers.
Very impressive, Aldous. Pleased to meet you here. Listen, I'm looking for a few things. I'm on somewhat of a quest here, and I need the assistance of a powerful magician.
Yes, I'm very good at quests. You know, me and my brother once went on quite a large quest.
Oh my God.
Isn't that right, Codex? Yes. Anyway, sorry. What can I get you? What do you need?
Primarily right now, what I'm looking for is some glamour weave, perhaps a cloak or a hat of some sort. You carry any of that around here?
Glamour weave.
So specifically, I'm looking for an uncommon glamour weave item. They're not crazy special. They are wondrous items, but the uncommon ones, you can add a D4 to persuasion or performance checks once per day, and they also just look cool.
Yes, I do believe that I may have one of those in the back. Just let me go and take a look.
And he walks off to the back, and you hear him bustle around and...
No, Codex. No, not right now. I didn't find this one.
And he comes back to the front of the shop with a cloak in his hand. He lays this beautiful glamour weave cloak onto the shop desk and looks up at you, and he's like,
"Is this more or less what you're looking for?"
Yeah, that looks real nice, but you know, I'm something lacking in the statue department. Would it be all right if I tried it on here?
I suppose from one wizard to another, that would be acceptable.
Okay, Nevlin dons the cloak, and he's kind of looking at it on his body, and he's like, "Oh yeah, this fits real nice. How much you want for this?"
"Well, I suppose I could offer it for the full price of 500 gold."
"Ah, geez, 500 gold. You know, I mean, I'm just starting on this quest, and my coffers Well, they're a little light at the moment. How would you be up for, half price? We'll do it at 250.
Can I roll a persuasion check with the added bonus from the Glamour Weave cloak?
Nice. Oh, fuck. Good call. And all this will counter.
That's awesome.
What'd you get?
No charisma bonus. I got a 22.
Yeah, Aldous rolled a 3. He's like, you just look so damn good in that cloak. I don't see why not. Let's call it 250 gold pieces.
Yeah, that's real nice of you there.
And Nevlin hands him his pouch of gold.
Thank you, kind sir. And he pockets the 250 gold. Now, is there anything else I can do for you?
Nah, buddy, you tapped me dry there. I appreciate it. I'll be back to see you another time, I'm sure.
Well met. Yeah, well it's always met. Good to see another wizard.
And Nevlin leaves the shop.
And you walk out. There's Gord. Do you guys want to go anywhere else?
I'm pretty cool.
Nevlin looking good there.
Yeah, just, pulling a little fast one there. Doing some magics.
Well, keep on doing that, and I might have to get one of those myself. Looks so damn fancy.
Gord, did you want to go anywhere?
Gord doesn't really have anything. Based on what he heard from Grumsh, he's, again, more worried about the party than he is about anybody else. So if he could, he'd probably try and make sure that he is as defenseless as possible. So he's just going to stick with Nevlin, telling him stories about battles he's had long past.
Okay. Well, then we will cut over to Dario then. And Cornelius?
Cornelius, tell me a little more about yourself. You seem to be a proprietor of delicacies and foods, and I've heard you mention your goats and your chickens many times. You are a farmer of sorts?
One could say.
I'm impressed with people who nurture the good things in life that we all consume. Very delicious. We had some of your cheese that night before we came here. I found it to be the best amongst the goods.
Yes, I am selling cheese, if you're interested.
I am. Actually, on that note, I'm looking for some, like, true grub. Maybe this tavern will have something to be desired.
Yeah, let's go check it out. What is it, the bloated ox?
Yeah, bloated pig or something.
Yeah, it's a weird name for up in a tree.
It's a beautiful place with awfully named... Never mind, it doesn't matter. Maybe they love bloated oxes.
I probably would have called it the Bulbous Porpoise.
Bulbous Porpoise?
Yeah.
So, a porpoise, is that a seafaring creature of sorts or something like that?
It is. I had the opportunity to see several of them during my travels in Faerun.
You come around a bend in the tree, and you guys see Pork going down another bend past the tavern, but you spot the tavern, and you get close, and you hear the lute of the satyr and the drumming of old-timey, dirty dubstep meets classical contemporary. As you approach the tavern, you guys go in?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so you guys walk in the front door. It's similar to the rest of all of these structures here at St. Elise. It's beautiful inside, and there's a big wooden bar topped with some sort of leaf foliage running across the top, and there's a few patrons sitting at the bar drinking mead. There's a stocky man behind the tavern bar who's cleaning glasses. In behind that, you can see that there's some sort of kitchen in the back, and off to your right as you walk in the door, there's a fairly large room of tables and random creatures and patrons scattered about these tables and chairs, and it seems like a lively place. There's also stairs that go up to a next level on your left, which you could only assume would be an inn of sorts upstairs.
Cool.
Now this is lovely.
This is all juxtaposed by like my mostly black garb and like hardened armor and like clinking as I walk along and like a skull motif of Mercule. And I'll walk up to the bar and I'll be like, you barkeep, do you have any more of this liquid that you are serving?
Yes, we have very many kinds of mead. What kind of mead would you like? Would you like a light mead or a dark mead?
I'm feeling a bit dark myself, yes. I'll have some of this.
Dark it is. Welcome to the Bloated Ox Tavern. My name is Drac. It is very nice to meet you.
Drac is a short and cheery half-orc man. It's very strange seeing a half-orc of this shortness, but he's got the shortness of a dwarf. One might even wonder that he might be half orc, half dwarven, but he seems like a cheery fellow. And he goes behind, turns around, and he starts pouring the blackest mead you've ever seen. And as he turns around, the head is perfect on this beer, and he slams the glass down, and he says, "That will be one copper piece, please."
That's so cheap. Yes, of course. I pull out a copper piece and I place it down. It's got sort of the motifs of Evernight on it.
No, he grabs the currency, looks at the coin, and he's like,
"It's very strange. It is a copper piece, but it's different."
Yes, I am. I'm not from around, as they say, and it is. Is it of a favorable weight? I know the currency might not be exact, but it is also made of copper.
He sticks it in his mouth and he goes to bite it, but he actually breaks it in half, and he's like, "Oh!" And he pulls it out and he's like, "Yes, it will do very nicely." And he throws it in this bin that he's got a bunch of coins in, and you hear it drop.
Tell me, Drac, what do you know of the goings-ons around here?
Well, there has been many, many words of Astrazalian going missing, something of another city taking its place, and also that of strange goings-ons, creatures, things happening. Do you would like? I would suggest that you talk to Thrail here.
He points to a dwarven woman, burly in stature, with a long beard and tightly knit braids.
"She may have some information. She is out of the city. I remain here every day. I don't see things. I only hear things."
I understand.
"That is, I don't know very much about what's going on."
"That is fair. I understand. I will go and speak with her. I'll take my good friend Cornelius here. We'll go strike up a conversation. Thank you for your assistance, Drax."
"You are very welcome."
I turn to Cornelius and I'm like, let's go and find out what's happening around."
"Well, hold on, man. You go get started."
"Yeah?
Yeah.
What are you going to do?"
"I'm going to the kitchen."
"Okay. Well, good luck."
"Thank you."
I head over to talk to the burly dwarven lady.
Okay, so Cornelius, what are you doing?
So I'm going to walk up to Drac and be like, "Drac, is it?"
"Well, yes. Drac is my name, yes."
"Yes, well met. May I speak with your chef?"
This is highly unordinary, but I suppose
it's... "I am no ordinary individual."
"But please, by all means."
And he waves towards the kitchen.
"All right, I'm going to enter the kitchen."
Okay, you walk in and you see it's a pretty standard kitchen. There's a prep counter, and there's a sort of a magical fire. This shit's in a tree, right? So it's like, it's very well hidden by steel. There's no way that a burning flame would catch fire to anything around it. And yeah, there's a tall, skinny man. Very skinny, almost as skinny as yourself. And he is hunched over this prep table and he's cutting some carrots.
"Ooh, carrots." I walk up, I stand, you know, a few feet away because you don't want to be awkward and weird and be like a foot away from the person. And I wait for him to acknowledge me.
A moment passes and he doesn't notice you. He's just chopping these carrots. And as that moment comes to an end, and just before you might want to clear your throat to let you know he's there, he kind of like turns and sees you there while he's still chopping. And he's like,
"Fucking so many voices, man."
He's like, "How might I help you?"
And I slowly open up my cloak. Ignore how I look. That's not what this is about. And I pull out a small package of cheese. And I place it down and I say, "I'm Cornelius from the northern wood of Astrazalian."
"You are Cornelius of Fluffy Bum Delicacies?"
"Yes."
"The Cornelius of Fluffy Bum Delicacies."
"Yes."
"I do say this is a very good day for the both of us."
"Indeed. How come?"
"Well, because for one, you're here with cheese. I use your cheese often, and I can replenish my stock."
"Where do you get my cheese from? Is somebody bootlegging my cheese?"
It's none of your business. "How I get my cheese is my own."
"What do you pay for your cheese?"
Inflation.
Just inflation. That's the price.
It's standard plus inflation. I know a guy. He comes to me from Astrazalian every fortnight, bearing fine cheese. Yours is my favorite."
"Oh, fair."
"So I guess suppose someone is bootlegging your cheese."
"At least they're giving credit to my name, so I'm okay with that. And honestly, there's bigger things than cheese. Well then, I guess if you're already getting my cheese, that was my mission, and even though I didn't accomplish it, I feel as though I did accomplish this side quest. Good day then!
Well met, sir, well met.
Well met to you.
And he stands there, stupid smile on his face, and he's still chopping carrots.
And then I walk back up without saying anything, and open up my cloak, and I take out one more little packet of cheese, and I put it on the table, and I walk away.
And he notices this cheese, and he smiles, and he's like, by the gods, what a nice young man.
Then I grab a carrot as I'm leaving the room.
And he smiles and chuckles, and then, yeah, you leave the room with the carrot, and he doesn't say anything because it's funny because you're a rabbit.
And I put the carrot into my pouch.
Okay, you now have one carrot.
And I make my way up to Dario.
So Dario, you see Cornelius come out of the kitchen. He's putting something in his pocket, and you approach Thrail. This dwarven woman clearly must be some kind of druid. And as I said, she's burly in stature with a long beard and tightly knit braids. She's seemingly down on her luck and brokenhearted as she sits at the bar, drowning her sorrows in mead.
I'm sorry. Thrail, was that your name? You look like you maybe could use an ear to talk to. Oh dear. Oh, you poor thing. Please, please. What's wrong?
My comrade is lost.
Oh, what a lovely speaking voice you have.
Things will never be the same.
Oh, but please, please, dearie. Who was this? Who is this person to you?
Dothan. Dothan, my partner.
Your partner?
He was wandering around near Pothigan with some of the little creatures. I took off to pick some flowers, and next thing I know, there's these little creatures running amok in my dear Dothan, shaped into a bear. Only his eyes went black. Straight black they was.
How long ago did this happen?
Only the other day.
Oh my goodness. You were in such a state. This only happened to you yesterday.
Yeah.
Well, Dothan, was it?
Dothan.
How can I help you? I am an adventurer of sorts, and also a cleric of Mercule. Perhaps I can help in this endeavor. My friend Cornelius Fluffybum is a proprietor of cheeses, but also a druid.
Yo.
Hello.
You are too distraught at this time.
It's the pond. They was drinking from it. Then it was all black too. Bubbling even. They weren't the same, growling at me. Even came close. Swiped. No, I tried to bring him back to reason, but he wasn't gone. He was gone. So I ran.
And she wipes her eyes and the tears out of her eyes and regains a small amount of hope as she says,
You look like a tough lot, though. Battle hardy. Maybe you could bring some back to me.
Yes, yes. I believe we can. More than just myself, I have compatriots who can help in this endeavor.
Oh, I've got a little bit of gold.
Oh, we didn't even talk about that, but how generous. How much do you have?
Look, this is my life savings.
Oh my god.
So at this moment, I look at Dario and I say, I'll go get the others. And I exit the tavern and start walking towards Aldous's to buy supplies.
I turn back to Thrail and I'm like, your life savings, is it? Well, I guess it will take a lifetime of work to bring back a life to you.
Oh my god.
Oh, I would do anything.
I know.
Fucking Oscar moment.
Oh, jeez.
I'm so evil. I'll be like, okay, well, I will leave for now there, Thrain, and we will find Cawthon.
It's Darthan.
Darthan, and by the pond, right?
By the pond, the Maze of Thargan.
Maze of Thargan.
Thargan.
Farthagin. I'm so sorry, you've probably been crying a lot. And it's an accent, and amongst other things. You know, it also could be very possibly myself.
She's a bloody mess. You see there's like snot and boogers all in your beard and everything. Like, she's just like looking at you with the glint in her eye.
I'll be like, how do I spell your name?
A-Z-T. H.
Yes.
O.
Yes.
A.
I... ill.
Oh, sorry, was that a ill?
Ill.
You poor thing. And your husband's name?
Darth. Darth.
Darth. Darth.
D. I.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yes.
I.
Yes.
T.
Yes.
H.
Yes.
Does Dario
Dareth.
Have, does Dario have like a cute little like address book he keeps with him at all times?
Yes, yes. Well, I think it would be part of my cleric's garb and backpack, because I carry like an altar and an alms box and candles and shit like that.
Of course,
so maybe,
of course.
Maybe. Okay, so she's Thrail, that's Dareth, and you said that he was down by the maze of...
Fargan.
Maze of Fargan.
Fargan.
I thought you said fart again.
It's pretty much what is how you pronounce it. It's Farthigan.
Farthigan.
It's definitely Farthigan.
That's close to Jesus' pad, too.
Just Farthigan. Jesus is just dying away.
Maybe he'll let us crash.
Oh. And Gareth is turned into a bear, and he drank from a pond that the had some mysterious pond. Goo in it.
This goo.
And he said all of his friends were also in a frenzy.
All of the animals, yes.
Okay. You poor thing. You stay here. And in fact, I drink half my drink and I'd be like, here, you can have the rest of this.
Oh my gosh.
And she takes it and just like disgustingly slobbers it back.
Yeah. Oh god, okay.
Good thing you gave her the second half, not the first.
Thrail will be back. And we will be back with Dareth.
And she looks to the mead as she slams it back, and you leave?
Yes.
Okay, and then we're going to go over to Cornelius at Aldous's. So yeah, you walk up to this beautifully decorated building up to the north. You actually see Gord and Nevlin coming out of the shop as you're walking towards it.
Gentlemen?
Hey Cornelius. What's bringing you around here?
Oh, just coming to do some shopping, you know? I don't know when we're leaving. What about you guys?
I was telling Nevlin some stories about... my time in Faerun.
Ah, yes. I spent time there. A lot of time.
In Faerun?
10 years.
Really? What got you here?
Well, I'm from here.
You went to Faerun?
Yeah, I spent 10 years there.
No, I mean, like, how'd you get there in the first place?
Oh, I just walked through one of the doorways.
Are there doorways you know of, Cornelius?
I only know what my parents have shown me. That's right, everyone. I'm a D&D character that has both parents still healthy and alive. They're great parents. I love them very much.
Parents? Usually they're dead to further my narrative.
Yeah.
Mine were killed by a black dragon.
Mine were also killed by a black dragon.
My parents are black dragons.
Well, go in there if you... talk all this up, he'll probably give you a discount.
Cool, thank you for giving me the heads up. And I walk into Aldous's emporium of awesome shit and trinkets.
And as you walk in, you see a tall, lavish-looking wizard, and he looks up from his trinkets that he's putting away on the shelf, and he says,
"Hello, Aldous the Magnificent!"
Ah, Cornelius, the regular.
How can I help you?
I am in need of a couple of items.
I'm sorry, perhaps did you say Cornelius the regular?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. What can I get you?
Well, I'm looking for a sling. Do you sell slings here?
Right here. And he holds up a sling.
Cool. Do you have any potions for curing perhaps light wounds?
Yes, I have several potions.
Oh, well, what would they go for in a shop like this?
Well, I generally sell them for 50 gold pieces.
50 gold pieces? Well, okay. How about 48 gold pieces?
You drive a hard bargain.
Roll a persuasion check.
It's a minus one. That's going to be an 8.
Yeah, he rolled like a 17. He's like,
you drive a hard bargain, but no. A wizard's got to make a living too, you know.
You make a good argument. Okay, then. Do you have any, like, small paper pouches?
Oh, gummy schmiggins, yes.
Can I take a stack of, like, 20 small paper pouches? I'm just thinking, like, paper bag, but you're not going to say paper bag in D&D, so you say paper pouch.
He's like, I'll fashion them out of parchment. It will essentially be a small bag, a parchment bag.
Okay, yeah, I like this idea. And a little bit extra for your hard labor?
Yes, I will sell them to you for, 5 gold pieces.
Fuck, okay, whatever. And how much for the sling? Are you just going to throw that in there?
No, the sling will be 5 silver.
Yeah, sure, man, whatever. And I put down 105 gold and 5 silver pieces.
And he takes all of those things, puts them all in his pouch, and he pockets the pouch.
Okay, I put my newly acquired items into their respective places on my person. I bid him a good day.
Good day, sir. I hope to see you back here at Aldous the Magnificent's Magical Emporium and other fine trinkets.
Yes, indeed. And I leave.
All right.
I want to talk to a few more random NPCs.
all in different 15, sizes and different 15 voices.
Different ones.
You guys all finish up what you were doing, and you kind of all meet up back at the guest house. And you guys essentially await Vestibule's instructions. A couple hours pass, and it gets close to sundown, and Vestibule arrives. And he's like,
well, hello again. Nice to see that you are out enjoying the city. It being sundown, you please would follow me back to the chamber.
Certainly.
He brings you guys back around the front of the structure, and as you pass through the proscenium with Vestibule, the atmosphere appears to have changed in the dimly lit chamber. It is far less radiant than the first time you entered, and you all feel an unnerving sense of unease. Here you see Tiandra sitting at her throne of ivy, dipping her feather pen into an ink pot and slowly scribing parchment with expert precision. She methodically scrapes off the excess ink and lays down her quill across the leather resting strap. As her chin rises, she smiles with swollen eyes and says with purpose,
I've come to a difficult decision.
It is clear that Tiandra has been crying, likely grieving for the loss of her niece or maybe struggling to grasp the magnitude of the situation. But with her best effort, she rises from her throne and begins to speak softly.
Upon careful consideration, I believe that someone less involved in the Court of Stars should take upon the task of retrieving the stones. It is possible that with the new light on this information of the stones, it is possible that the Court of Stars may split on a difference of opinion and throw the balance of power in the Feywild to shambles and even chaos. That said, if the Fomorians of the Underdark were to side with darker powers at be, the world may erupt into war and the possibility of a counter-ritual may be less than possible. Likewise, we've interrogated the cloaked man to the best of our ability and he hasn't spoken much. Only confirmed that his master is Seraphim the Black, Queen of the Shadows, which confirms what you've said previously. If she were to seek aid and muster forces, we may be at risk also. We need to retrieve those stones before she has the chance.
And she kind of walks, pacing a little bit, and she looks at you all again, and she sighs, and she says,
It is with utmost urgency that I seek your aid in the retrieval of these stones.
Where should we go first?
You want us to find the stones.
The aquarium stone?
The aquaratium, young turtle.
Oh, that's what I meant.
I do know that there will be a level of trust that has not yet been reached. Be that as it may, for both parties, we have only just met and I would wish for someone to accompany you on your journey.
Oh, no.
Someone that I may communicate with directly to keep an eye on the situation.
Is it me? I'm from here.
Yeah, Cornelius can do it. He can do it. You should pick him. It doesn't need to be anybody else.
And with that, a small robed figure appears through the back double door and says,
When do we start?
No!
Spud!
And that's where we're going to end the session.